Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will appreciate the production work of a well-known British rock and classical musician who figured out a time-consuming and difficult way to make a 1976 Moog synthesizer sound like the ringing of an American telephone. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we present a soul legend from Prattville, Alabama, who made the R&B charts over 50 times, reaching the number 1 position on that chart with today's record. Later, we examine a cover song that hit the top 5 in England. The song was first recorded by an obscure 3-man group called The Nerves, originally only available on an EP that didn't chart. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will hear a single that hit number 1 across the board in the United States, ultimately named the number 1 song of the year, 1980, by Billboard magazine. But first, just as we do each week, we begin with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a 1-week peak and were then disconnected. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we initiate the call with the second biggest hit of this group's career, a single that, oddly, stayed on the charts 4 weeks longer than Green Eyed Lady, their biggest hit. 2 number 1 songs, I Feel Fine by the Beatles and Superstition by Stevie Wonder, were cleverly incorporated into the storyline of this song's lyrics and music. When the group performed the song live on the Midnight Special hosted by Wolfman Jack, the Wolfman really voiced the line in the song that DJ Ken Griffin recorded for the band as a Wolfman Jack imitation.
A long distance directory assistance, Eric Cook 212, say hey, AMR, this is Mr. Rhythm and Blues. He said hello and put me on hold. To say the least, the cat was cold, he said. Call us, child, we'll call you. I said, you got my number? I said, yeah, I got when you walk in the door.
Don't call us.
week at number 40 on the Record World chart, on its way up to a peak of number 9 in Billboard, 12 in Cashbox, and number 5 in Canada. That was Sugarloaf and Don't Call Us, We'll Call You, a track written by Jerry Corbetta and John Carter and released on the Claridge label.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have yet another track from the 1981 album Tell America by Fool's Face, that amazing five-piece rock act from Springfield, Missouri, that we have featured on four previous episodes. Of the four songs by Fool's Face that have been on our countdown, two were written by Jimmy Frink, one by Jim Wirt, and one by Brian Kaufman. Today, we feature a fourth songwriter from Fool's Face, keyboardist Dale McCoy. I will always owe Dale McCoy a little bit of a musical debt, because back when I was 19 years old, with the Trend opening a club show for Fool's Face, Dale took the time to explain to me how to do the wiring to hook a synthesizer directly into a soundboard, something I had never done before.
Walking down the street, at the mercy of the moment, see a couple children's faces, oh, they look so young, and their fathers look like Romans, and their mothers look like slaves, and they don't know any better. Searching out the skies for a bit of my vacation, there's a street sign on the corner, but that would be too easy. And I've had too much medication, still I have not found a cure, and I know I should know better. I don't need to feel so lost when a diamond's all it costs. I don't have to be alone, I can call you on the phone.
With an album track that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, that was Fool's Face and the Dale McCoy composition, Telephone Time.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a storytelling singer-songwriter that took his characters very seriously. One character of his was the baddest man in the whole damn town, while another was called Treetop Lover by all the ladies. For this selection, the writer remembered his days in the military, seeing his army buddies getting bad news about their girlfriends from home over the phone.
Operator, oh, could you help me place this call? See, the number on the matchbook is old and faded. Living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray. Gosh, you said you knew well and sometimes hated. Well, I only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. save me. But isn't that the way they say it goes? Well, let's forget all that and give me the number if you can't find it, so I can call just to tell them I'm fine and to show I've overcome the blow. I've learned to take it well. I only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real, but that's not the way it feels. No, 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 that's not the way it feels. Operator, oh, let's forget about this call. No one there I really wanted to talk to. Thank you for your time. So much more than kind. You can keep a dime. But isn't that the way they say it goes? Well, let's forget all that and give me the number if you can't find it, so I can call just to tell them I'm fine and to show well, I only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. But that's not the way it feels.
Peaking at number 11 on the Adult Contemporary chart and in Canada, that was Operator, That's Not the Way It Feels by the late Jim Croce, who one day prior to his untimely death in a plane crash, wrote a letter to his wife telling her that he had decided to cut down on his live performing and music because of the traveling and instead concentrate on writing books and stories for magazines. At number 10, we have a selection that was included on an album that was released on June 11, 1979, and within 13 days had already gone gold. That album, Get the Knack, was the quickest release to gold LP on the Capitol label since Meet the Beatles. While other albums of the day took some other bands months in the studio, costing over $100,000 to produce, this one was recorded in exactly 2 weeks and cost Capitol the grand total of $18,000.
Your number.
with an album track that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in England. That was The Knack and the Doug Feiger Burton Aver composition, Your Number or Your Name.
Number nine,
we have a single by the Electric Light Orchestra, originally released on their United Artists album, A New World Record. For the introduction in the song, writer and producer Jeff Lynne wanted to use the sound of an American telephone ringing. According to Lynne, quote, "To get the sound on the beginning, you know, the American telephone sound, we phoned from England to America to a number that we knew nobody would be at, just to listen to it for a while. On the Moog synthesizer, we recreated the sound exactly by tuning the oscillators to the same notes as the ringing of the phone," close quote. Only Jeff Lynne would choose that way instead of simply recording an unknown ringing phone. Spending a week at number 9 on the Cashbox survey, on its way up to a peak of number 4 in Cashbox, 4 in radio and records, 7 in Billboard, and 7 in Record World. That was the Electric Light Orchestra and Telephone Line, originally released in the United States on clear green vinyl by United Artists Records.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
reached number 8.
Now we are up to a selection that was modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a 2009 cover by singer and multi-instrumentalist John Nolan of a 1996 hit by the Primitive Radio Gods. Born in Baltimore and raised in Nassau County, New York, John Nolan has charted on indie charts with two different bands, Taking Back Sunday and Stray Light Run. After receiving consistent college radio play with both groups, Nolan recorded his initial solo album, Height, for Doghouse Records. The standout track on his debut turned out to be Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Money in My Hand.
Jen lays down and wrestles in her sleep. Moonlight spills on comic books and superstars and magazines. An old friend calls and tells us where to meet. A plane takes off from Baltimore and touches down on Bourbon Street.
With a single that was modern and great and should have reached number 8, that was John Nolan and Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Money in My Hand, a 2009 release on the Doghouse label.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a number 1 soul song from 1966 that came about when two house writers at the Stax label dialed up an answer to a record that hit number 7 by the Marvelettes on Motown. Wilson Pickett was born on March 18, 1941 in Prattville, Alabama, the fourth of 11 children. As a child, he sang in a church choir, developing his passionate style of singing. When he was 14, he left Alabama and moved to Detroit to be with his father. There, he heard street singing and other professional musicians. He joined a gospel group quickly after moving to Detroit and stayed with them for 4 years. Joining the Falcons in 1959, Wilson became close with another of their members, Eddie Floyd. After a song called "I Found a Love" became a minor hit, Wilson left the Falcons and embarked on a solo career. One of his demos found its way into the hands of Jerry Wexler at Atlantic Records. Once Atlantic sent him to Stax Studios in Memphis, Wilson began having immediate success. But now, let's get back to the Answer record that involved a song by the Marvelettes. Back in 1962, the Marvelettes, one of Motown's earliest girl groups, released a single that hit number 7 on the Soul chart and worked its way up to number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. The song, written by Marvin Gaye, George Gordy, and Mickey Stevenson, was called "Beechwood 45789. The odd-sounding title to that record originated from the once common practice of using telephone exchange names in telephone numbers. For the number Beechwood 45789, the first two letters of the spoken word would indicate the corresponding letters to be used in the number, B-E. That would correspond to the actual number 2345789, by the way. For the Answer record that was recorded at Stax, Wilson Pickett cut a composition by his former bandmate in the Falcons, Eddie Floyd, and the guitarist from the MGs, Steve Cropper. Eddie and Steve ditched the telephone exchange name and went right to a number. That number happened to be only one digit off the number created for the Marvelettes by the Motown writers. While the credits were not broken down song by song, the musicians for the sessions at Stax for the album that contained the single by Wilson Pickett included Steve Cropper, Chips Moman, and Jimmy Johnson on guitars, Isaac Hayes, Joe Hall, and Spooner Oldham on keyboards, Duck Dunn and Tommy Cogbill on bass, and Roger Hawkins and Al Jackson Jr. on drums. And, of course, the Memphis horns were all over those sessions. In order to drive the point home that the Stax guys were answering the Marvelettes with a more soulful strut than the Motown record, Eddie Floyd and Steve Cropper added a subtitle that was a play on Motown's claim as Hitsville, USA. Their subtitle? Soulsville, USA.
Six, three, four, five.
with Our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Wicked Wilson Pickett and 6345789 Soulsville, USA, a single recorded at Stax in Memphis and released on the Atlantic label that, back in 1966, spent 7 weeks at number 1 on the soul charts and peaked at number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Sergi from the Ukraine heard our 9.670 megahertz broadcast on his Sanjian 909 receiver and telescopic antenna. He reports 35433 and gave very detailed information regarding his reception of the transmission. He also attached audio files of air checks for us. Well, Sergi, we are thrilled that you have found our show, and we certainly appreciate all the information that you sent us. Victor from Russia heard our 9.670 megahertz broadcast on his XH Data D808 receiver with Edwards A38 LMS antenna. He initially reported 25232, followed by a subsequent 35333. He sent us his best regards and wishes us success, prosperity, health, and peace. Well, Victor, we wish you the same, and thank you for your detailed reception report. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from
you. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's act is a group we have featured in this very spot before. However, the song we will be playing today is one of the few they ever released that featured their original keyboard player, a character named Pigpen, on the lead vocal. As we have mentioned on previous episodes, the Grateful Dead were certainly not known as a singles act. Their eclectic combination of rock, folk, country, and blues made for a psychedelic mash of music that was best appreciated live, where their lengthy instrumental jams were not constrained by the limitations of a 7-inch 45 RPM record. Nevertheless, even the Grateful Dead came up with catchy short songs from time to time. For example, this selection from their classic album American Beauty happened to be the perfect length for a rock single and did, in fact, receive some airplay on album rock stations such as WLUP Chicago, KOME San Jose, and KSHE St. Louis. While the backing track surely sounds like vintage Grateful Dead music, the lead vocal is a little different from any of their music we have previously played. Rather than hearing Jerry Garcia or Bob Weir, their normal lead singers, this song is fronted by their original keyboard player named Ron McKernan, who was called Pigpen by everyone.
Operator, can you help me? Help me if you please. Give me the right area code and the number that I need. My rider left up on the midnight flyer, singing like a summer breeze. I think she's somewhere down south, down about Baton Rouge, but I just can't remember no number, a number I can use. Directory don't have it, central done forgot it, got to find the number to use. Trying to check out a number, trying to run down a line. Operator said that's privileged information and it ain't no business of mine. It's flooding down in Texas, the poles are out in Utah. Got to find a private line. You could be hanging around a steel mill, working in a house of blue lights, riding a getaway bus out of Portland, talking to the night. I don't know where she's going, I don't care where she's been, long as she's been doing it right. Mm-hmm.
right.
With our bonus hit at number 6, that was the San Francisco-based psychedelic act known as the Grateful Dead, fronted on this occasion by the late Ron McKernan, known to deadheads around the world as Pigpen.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a bona fide country record recorded by country artist Gary Allen and released on the Decca label out of Nashville. In fact, Gary's album was the last album released on the Decca Nashville label, which caused him to switch over to the newly formed MCA Nashville, the label that replaced Decca. Like all the other songs we have played up to this point, our selection at number 5 also involves the use of a telephone. But the lyrics cleverly have the protagonist considering using the quarter he is saving for the payphone in a nearby jukebox. The decision wrapped within that story, of course, is indeed what country records are made of. However, the production of the record itself did not involve country session players exclusively. In fact, the drummer on this track is the same individual that we have discussed playing drums for rockers such as Rob Junkless and Peter Frampton, Chad Cromwell. And who is it playing that twangy lead guitar? None other than that celebrated lead guitarist from Piccadilly Circus, the Hot Dogs, Black Oak, Arkansas, and Cobra, the ever-present Jack Holder.
I got a quarter in my pocket, won't you tell me what I should do? Should I put it in the phone so I can come crawling home to you? Jukebox and play another heartbreak song. Well, I'm leaning towards a letter and I really hate being alone. Don't flip it in the air, don't watch it fly. If it's heads, I might love again. If it's tails, I'll cry. I got a quarter in my pocket, won't you tell me what I should do? Should I put it in the phone so I can come crawling home to you? Or should I put it in the jukebox and play another heartbreak song? I'm leaning towards a letter and I really hate being alone. Same old stool with the same old question at hand in the mind of a fool. I got a quarter in my pocket, won't you tell me what I should do? Should I put it in the phone so I can come calling home to you? Or should I put it in the jukebox and play another song? I'm leaning towards a letter and I really hate being alone. Well, I got a quarter in my pocket and I really hate being alone.
With a country song that should have crossed over and reached number 5 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records, that was Gary Allen and Quarter in My Pocket.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number 4, which means that we are going to play a selection that charted considerably better in England than it did in the United States. But since we are actually going to play an album track that has no chart history as a single in either country, we will use the chart positions of the album that contained that track. According to the album charts, the album that contained this selection, Upstairs at Eric's by Yazoo, as they were called in England, peaked at number 2. That same album, credited to the group Yaz in the United States, only made it up to number 92. Nevertheless, over time, the airplay afforded to this album track has caused it to be treated as if it were a platinum single in both countries.
Ooh, can you hear me? The radio reporters took the lines all dead.
Bad Connection, an album track that should have been released as a single and should have reached number 4 in both the United States and Great Britain. That was Yaz, or Yazoo as they were called in England, a duo made up of my favorite synthesizer player, Vince Clark, and the incredible Alison Moyet on vocals.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we're up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we are once again talking about downtown San Francisco, home base for the group that sounded like a single guy with a fake last name, Tommy Two Tone. The band Tommy Two Tone was formed when Tommy Heath formed his group Tommy and the Two Tones in Northern California with Jim Keller and two other friends. Over time, the group's name was shortened to Tommy Two Tone, and their basic rock sound earned them a contract with Columbia Records. After having a minor top 40 hit with Angel Say No, a song that we will be playing sometime in the future, the group began working on their second album. On this particular track, they were assisted in the recording studio by John Cousins of the famous family group The Cowsills. John played percussion and provided the backing vocals. With our 3 from way downtown, that was Tommy Two Tone and 867-5309 Jenny, a single that was written by Alex Call and Jim Keller under a plum tree one afternoon and peaked at number 4 in Billboard, 5 in Cashbox, and hit number 1 on the mainstream rock tracks chart.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a single that should have gone all the way to number 1. This particular song at number 2 was produced by Mike Chapman, the same fellow that produced Your Number or Your Name for The Knack that we heard back at number 10. And, in addition to that connection to The Knack, this song also has a connection to both The Beat and The Plimsolls, two bands who may very well have been given major label contracts based upon their similarities to The Knack. Back in 1976, a three-man group called The Nerves began playing clubs and working on original material. The Nerves were made up of Paul Collins, Peter Case, and Jack Lee. Eventually, the three of them scraped together enough money to record an EP that was independently produced and released as a 7-inch record containing 4 songs. The lead-off track was a song written by Jack Lee called Hanging on the Telephone. Let's hear just a tiny bit of that record.
I'm in the phone with this one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just ring it on the wall. I know she's there, but I just had a call.
Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone.
I heard your mother, now she's going out the door. Did she go to work or just go to the store?
Heard was a legendary underground EP track from The Nerves. When it was originally released, it went absolutely nowhere. The Nerves broke up, with Peter Case going on to form the Plimsolls and Paul Collins leading the Beat. Jack Lee didn't immediately form a band, but he did land a publishing deal as a songwriter, ultimately writing Come Back and Stay for British pop vocalist Paul Young. But before the members of The Nerves were able to accomplish any of that, a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Pierce, a member of a group called The Gun Club, gave a mixtape cassette to one of the members of Blondie. That tape contained Hanging on the Telephone. As soon as the members of Blondie heard it, they knew it would be a hit and took it immediately to their producer, Mike Chapman, to begin the sessions. And indeed it was a hit for Blondie, reaching number 5 in England back in 1978. We think it should have gone all the way to number 1 there, and also here in the United States.
I'm in the phone booth.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two, that was The Nerves' old song, Hanging on the Telephone, as covered by Blondie, the former Private Stock Records act that actually started selling records in big numbers once Chrysalis bought out their private stock contract. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. And this song was indeed a perfect record for its time, becoming the number one single of the year, 1980. Back in 1979, Giorgio Moroder was riding high as a producer, coming off a string of number one singles that he had produced for Donna Summer, including two of Donna's that were used in the motion pictures Thank God It's Friday and Foxes. Based upon those triumphs, Giorgio was sought out by some movie executives to provide the music for the upcoming film American Gigolo. First, Giorgio contacted Stevie Nicks and asked her to write lyrics for a backing track that he had already completed as the main theme of the movie. But Stevie had just signed a solo contract that restricted some of her outside projects, and she was forced to decline. Giorgio then turned to his second choice, Debbie Harry of Blondie. She took a tape of the backing track and wrote all the lyrics to the song, changing it from Man Machine, as it was originally titled, to Call Me, based upon the chorus she drafted. She then had her group learn the song and insisted that they be involved in the recording of the single, even though Giorgio usually covered all the instruments on his recordings himself. Giorgio did get full producer's credit for the Blondie recording instead of their normal producer, Mike Chapman. With our Hall of Perfection track at number one, that was Blondie, and a single that hit number one in Billboard, Record World, Canada, and England, and was played by Casey Kasem as Billboard's number one song of the year 1980, Call Me. Well, Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.